Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This is our 2022 summer movie preview episode. We take you through each and every month, May through August, and discuss every major theatrical release coming your way, as well as some indies and streaming originals to keep an eye out for. Get ready to make plans, because it is now time for our 2022 summer movie preview. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Troy Heinrichs.
I am so glad we're bringing the summer because it's freezing here.
It is kind of chilly. We're in the Chicago area and it's really getting old, right?
You guys are babies.
I hated that movie.
I had my windows open today.
I wasn't trying to tie it into M. Night Shyamalan. You had your window open. It was like 47 degrees in this general area.
Yeah, I had multiple windows open.
You're crazy.
That's fine.
Crazy.
All right, guys, well, we are going to get into the entire summer schedule for 2022, and sure, some things might pop up, some things might move. Black Adam already is off the schedule. It's in October now, I believe, which is too bad. I was looking forward to that one. Thor is coming out in July 8th, which is after the 4th of July, which is weird, I guess. You would think it would be taking advantage of that weekend, but there's a lot of things that are changing and shaking. You never know what's going to happen, but we're presenting it as the dates are as of right now. I do want to mention, since we're talking about summer, not necessarily this summer, but DC announced the Batman 2 is coming. The Bats Pats is coming back for a second go around. Sony announced Venom 3 and Ghostbusters Afterlife 2. Plus, they're going to make another Spider-Man villain spinoff called El Morta with Bad Bunny. You know, good for him. But now we're just doing characters that appear in like two issues, apparently, of Spider-Man. It's wild. Sony just is desperate for that money. We're going to build our own cinematic universe, even if they don't want it.
See, the Ghostbusters one is good, though, because the way that they did it was transition from old guard to new guard and keep the concepts of the universe alive. And I think that's a really smart play because that totally had legs and has the ability to have another movie after it.
But wouldn't it be good just to have that as a one-off? I feel like it was a nice finishing piece for the whole. I don't think everything needs an ongoing franchise for 12 movies. Sometimes it's just nice to finish something off. And I think that one really, really finished that whole the first two films off.
Yeah, but see, they brought back Gozer in the fourth movie, so now they have to bring back, what was his name, Viggo?
Oh,
in
no.
The second movie?
Nope. No. Don't even speak it into existence, because if that freaking painting shows up in a Ghostbusters movie that isn't an Easter egg, I'm pissed.
I'm just saying, Force Awakens was like the first one, and then...
No, you know what? Do some cross-universe... Bring Chris Hemsworth back. Bring back Kevin. Bring back the idiot from the Ghostbusters spinoff reboot, whatever the hell was.
How do you know that that's not exactly what's going to happen? There's going to be some multiverse interdimensional riff that actually brings the two movies together in this new option.
If you ever really want to go find Dan Aykroyd's original treatment for Ghostbusters, it is out there. I mean, there's all kinds of universal, multiversal, transversal. There's so many things. There's so many little tidbits in there, and it would cost about $600 million, but it would be a fantastic movie if anybody ever wanted to do it. Before Harold Ramis said, nobody's going to do that. Ended up with a bunch of guys in New York. What are you going to do? Oh, well, that's that. So that's from the news from CinemaCon. It's fairly exciting, I suppose. But we're getting more sequels, which means, you know, summer's coming back to life. Theaters are coming back to life. Everybody seems to be going back to the theater. We're seeing more and more box office numbers. I was just talking to my buddy who's a GM at an AMC theater, and he said it's constantly packed, which it hasn't been in a year and a half, 2 years. So I think this is awesome. Awesome news heading into summer.
Did you say they're making El Muerto?
Yeah.
Isn't he like in two cells of one book?
He's in, I believe, like two-ish. I wasn't kidding. He's been like two issues.
Two issues?
Yeah. He's a nothing. Hey. A Latino character for the Spider-Verse, that's great. I mean, there's got to be better characters to pick from. You know what I mean? I just feel like you're really just trying. We got Madam Web coming. You got Kraven the Hunter. They're really moving fast on this whole Spider-Verse. And Morbius did not do well at all. It had a great weekend, and then it just completely vanished to the point where they put out a wanted poster for Jared Leto. They don't even know where he's at anymore. It's crazy.
Leading his cult in the middle of a desert.
Isn't that weird?
It's super weird. It's weird that we don't talk about this.
Do you want to talk about it? Because I kind of want to join it, to be perfectly honest. Like any guy who can corral 65
you
people.
Follow him?
Yeah. I want to learn. I'd love to have that. I can't get that many followers here.
I know. Imagine the things he could do for our Twitter, which is now owned by Elon Musk.
Was it 44 billion? 44 billion.
Yeah.
Troy, you're a tech nerd.
Sure.
There's no sure. You are. I'm letting you know. I feel pretty confident you could brand yourself with some kind of tech minor genius. I'll never give you that title because God knows your ego can't handle it. What do you think about Elon Musk buying Twitter for 44 billion? And do you think if we asked him for 44 bucks, he would buy us? Because I would take it.
All I know is that if he doesn't rebrand Twitter as MySpaceX, it was a complete failure from the start.
That would be really funny. But he also put some tweet out there about, like, now that I've bought Twitter, I'm going to shut it down, go outside and play or something like that. And I was like, oh, at least he's got a sense of humor.
We're going to get so many ads for SpaceX now. It's going to be all the time.
Hey, you know what? Look, I have watched many of the SpaceX launches. And I've seen many of the Tesla vehicles, and both of those are engineering marvels when you think about technology and existing things that already happen in the world. Those boosters, when they come back after coming off of Falcon, and the way that they synchronize, like you get air pressure, wind, rain, lightning, whatever, like those boosters land on the pad simultaneously together. It's freaking marveled, like, watching it happen. So if you can do that with rockets, I'm sure he can fix social media.
What do you guys want? What is the vision? What is the dream? And I know somebody's probably listening to this like a week after this happened. Like, I'm so over Elon Musk because apparently everybody's divided.
I think the entire vision was just he wants to have social media less restrictive. And that's the entire, I mean, like, Twitter tried to give him a limit on how much he could purchase of the company and offered him a board seat. And he said, nah, and honestly, that's kind of insulting. So I'm just going to buy your entire company and you guys are just going to do what I say anyway. And essentially, he just, for better or for worse, wherever you stand on it, that's for you to decide. But he essentially just wants less of the restrictions in social media in terms of what you can say, what is moderated, what is filtered, what is acceptable, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't disagree with his stance. My issue has always been that social media, from the minute it was created, ruined what was in effect the greatest thing of the American people, which was journalism.
Oh, I thought you were going to say MySpace.
Like original journalism, not corporate owned journalism, mm-hmm. like CNN and all the crap we have today, but like real journalism. Go watch The Newsroom, you know, from HBO back in the day, where you had to have two sources before you could state your opinion in the news because it had to be fact checked. Because if you like went after somebody without two sources, you get sued for libel, defamation, and all this other stuff. So if Elon Musk can say, yeah, protect free speech, but let's play by the same rules of at least having a corroborating source before it's allowed on the platform, I think that would be a good thing.
Can we just acknowledge that everybody that cites free speech when it comes to Twitter never read the Constitution or took that test? Because they're not, it's a private corporation. It's not the same thing.
Right.
I hear that debate. It's about free speech. I'm like, it's not. That's a private corporation. I mean, he can do what he wants with it. I'm just saying, like, that's not what the First Amendment's protecting you from.
Well, wasn't it a publicly held corporation, but he actually made it private now?
Sure. But either way, it's not a government program. Therefore, it's not affecting your freedom of speech, technically, according to the Constitution. Just saying. Right.
Any business has the ability to modify what they allow, and it's not necessarily an infringement on your rights.
It's amazing what people are very adamant on either side of this. I don't really have an opinion, but they are either completely loving this option or they're completely against this option. And man, I don't know which way to lean.
I think I'm against it from the standpoint of like someone that has that much money can just come in and control something just because they don't like it.
Zuckerberg's like, controlled Facebook for years and you don't.
I mean, like, but Facebook's a publicly traded company. That's it's not like Zuck owns it. Like the shareholders own Facebook. Granted, he might own a majority stake.
Well, it did for Twitter too. Twitter was the exact same way. To my understanding. But I think it's super ironic that he's coming in to say, no, you can't restrict, like, I don't want somebody who's restricting me and having some form of control over me and other people. But his entire point is coming in to control the way things are handled. And I was actually just looking at something that was talking about how all of the people who own some of the largest corporations that we have are that they've bought later on. They weren't the founders. They've bought later on are billionaires. Mm-hmm. So they're like in the top 10 of the richest people.
Yeah. I'm never going to be supportive of a billionaire buying anything, really, because I'm just like, oh, they need more money. Good for you. Good for you. You need, you know, that's cool that you came up with all this money. But I guess I'll be excited about the one fact I can be excited about is he dated Amber Heard and she never pooed in his bed. So he must know what he's doing. He can navigate some complicated water is what I'm saying. Let's move on to our summer movie preview. People don't care about.
I was going to say, don't get me started What's on that? This trial because I have some I funny, funny moments that have. That. Okay, hold on. Please. Can I just say one quick thing?
Is it a just trial at this point, or is this really just a reality show that was taped?
It is a reality show.
It's all staged.
Royal Spouses of Hollywood.
Her lawyer has been very intentional that whenever Johnny Depp is on the stand, he objects for hearsay, and he's gotten so accustomed to saying, objection, Your Honor, hearsay, that he asked a question and then he objected his own thing. And the judge was like, you asked the question. And he goes, oh, right. Like he made his, he objected to his own question. I found it hilarious.
The best is when Johnny Depp just goes to answer the question and he says, well, I heard, and then he pauses on purpose because he knows the objection's coming.
Yeah. And it didn't happen one time. And he was just like, all right. And so he continued talking and then it happened the next time. It's so funny to me.
I haven't watched 2 complete minutes of that entire thing. I just don't care. It's like people's private drama and they're both actors. So how do you, I keep seeing people all over the place go, well, you know, so-and-so's telling the truth. Depp's telling the truth. Her's telling the truth. How do you know? They're literally paid actors. Now you can decide. Oh my God.
I am going by the evidence.
They didn't have
evidence.
The poo. They didn't bring the poo into court. So who, they're both damaged people. That's what we're saying.
No, but Milani Cosmetics.
Summer movie preview. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to talk about each week throughout summer. We're going to read what the movie is and the description of that movie. And then we'll pause basically after each week is run through. That's where we'll discuss those films or any fun facts you might have found. Okay. Or any questions or discussion points. So we're going to start in May and we're going to go through Labor Day. And I will say this summer's a little lighter, I would say, than previous summers. Would you guys agree with that? Or previous summers prior to pandemic times.
That's fair. For blockbusters.
We had to like dip into the streaming services to fill out the format, yes. But the streamers actually have some good stuff coming.
I didn't call it dipping in. That's just they had some good movies coming out that were worth mentioning.
Some movies that were actually coming out are now going directly to streaming services in a surprise twist.
Well, in another surprise twist, HBO is now looking at the ones that they were putting on HBO Max and putting them direct to theaters. And Batgirl, they're considering making that a theatrical release. Probably because they're afraid they can't release Flash now. So, you know,
they have a hole to fill.
Does anyone just feel like there's no consistency in the world anymore? And streaming services are just adding to chaos. My stress.
It's chaos theory.
It's too chaotic. Can we just get one consistent vision and run with it?
Well, that would mean that Vision would have to come back. I mean, I know Scarlet Witch would like Vision to come back, but...
Speaking of, that's a great segue. Let's start there. May 6th through the 12th, basically. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which is coming out May 6th. Doctor Stephen Strange casts a forbidden spell that opens the doorway to the multiverse, including alternate versions of himself, whose threat to humanity is too great for the combined forces of Strange, Wong, and Wanda Maximoff, a.k.a. Scarlet Witch, directed by Sam Raimi, stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Elizabeth Olsen, and the rest of Marvel most likely will show up at some point. Happening, which is an adaptation of Annie Ernaux's eponymous novel, looking back on her experience with abortion when it was still illegal in France in the 1960s, and it's directed by Audrey Diwan. And May 11th, which is a Netflix movie, I believe, Operation Mincemeat. The title of this one might be a little bit gross, but it's based on a true story. Matthew McFadden and Colin Firth lead the drama, which tells the story of how a team of British intelligence officers outwitted the Nazis with false paperwork in World War II. Manda, of those three, I'm just going to throw it to you because I know you'll interrupt anyone that has any other opinion. So what do you want to see?
This isn't even a question for me. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
It's literally a question. I phrased it
But it's not, you know better. You know what my answer is, and it's going to be Doctor Strange. One thing that I'm very excited about with this movie, aside from the fact that Scarlet Witch is really getting tons of screen time, is that apparently she has almost as much screen time as Doctor Strange. And that makes me very giddy. And people who have sent that to me through Messenger from the Hollywood Outsider group, thank you and I appreciate you.
Was that just the same amount as Doctor Strange, the original version, or all versions of Doctor Strange?
Ooh.
Good question.
Depends on which portal you're looking at it through, right?
It depends on which check is bigger, I guess.
They should do this like Clue. There should be three different endings and for like each multiverse.
That would be fun.
It would be fun.
Here's the hard part. I love all three of these movies. One, because Marvel's Marvel, so we don't even have to go into that. That's a given that's going to happen. But speaking of happening, this trailer...
Well, you're on a roll.
was really, really actually interesting. I watched the trailer, and I'm just like, what is happening here? And then the wire comes out, and it's like, I was tense the entire time watching the trailer. So I think this is something that people really should take a look at and understand the problems around abortion and the challenges that even some people still face in the States today. I think it's going to be really gripping. And timely because
June is when the Supreme Court verdict is coming out, right?
On that exactly.
Big abortion case. And also, I'm assuming Marky Wahlberg shows up at some point and just says, say hello to your mother for me. I don't know if that's a fact or not.
And then Operation Mincemeat, anything that's a W2 movie is going to be up my alley. It looks freaking stellar. It's got, as Aaron said, the A-listers across the board. The whole concept behind this, you know, sending a body to try to fake the Germans before they all land on the beach. I mean, the whole thing just looks really, really interesting, and it's based on a true story.
It does look cool.
It looks very well shot, very well produced. Definitely worth watching as well. So you'll get all three of your A-list uses that weekend.
Oh, yeah. I think that one is on Netflix, actually, if I'm not mistaken, Operation Mincemeat.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it is a Netflix one. You're right.
I'm excited only for Doctor Strange because Sam Raimi's back in the Marvel Universe. You know, he did Spider-Man 1 and 2 and almost did Spider-Man 3. I am just not a Doctor Strange fan. You know, I'm not big on the magic part of it. I mean, I actually like Wanda Maximoff. I think Scarlet Witch is very cool, but it's a lot of it is how she kind of carries herself and presents herself. And I don't feel like Doctor Strange is any different from Sherlock, really. It just feels like the same character, except he waves his hands more and really never impresses me. So I will go see it because of Scarlet Witch and Sam Raimi. But I agree. Happening is probably the one after I watched the trailer, I was like, I think I'm more interested in this one. I really am.
That one does look like it's coming across very much like a thriller rather than a drama, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting because she's constantly having to try to see who she can get on her side to help her and all of just the restrictions that are happening and the limitations she's experiencing. It almost felt like because of that thriller element, I might be a little uncomfortable watching it. Because it gets really dark into this experience. And I feel like I'm going to have to get myself into the right mind space before I can sit down and actually watch it.
But let's not make any qualms about it. Doctor Strange is going to make like a bazillion dollars, right? Because, you know, because every time you have a portal, you get some hero coming back from the dead or from a different universe. Ben Affleck's going to show up as Daredevil for no reason whatsoever. Maybe we'll get John Bernthal as Punisher in there somehow. That would be cool. I mean,
don't even. Because,
I mean, are we not worried a little bit that Marvel's getting a little too close to, we'll just bring back old characters and that'll just be great fan service in every one of their movies now?
I mean, that's a Disney thing.
So, I mean, they're bringing them back from like movies that haven't existed in 20 years and stuff. I mean, you know, Toby, wink, wink, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it yet. So I expect maybe they'll get Dolph Lundgren to come into this thing at some point as the Punisher from the 80s. I mean, let's just go nuts. Let's get nuts.
Okay, let's back it up a little bit. That seems a little extreme.
Well, now I really want it. I mean, Dolph Lundgren's still out there. He's a good, good, smart guy. All right, May 13th. And he is a smart guy. He went to MIT. What? Okay, so Firestarter, May 13th. A young girl tries to understand how she mysteriously gained the power to set things on fire with her mind. So Zac Efron is a dad, which is wild. And Ryan Keira Armstrong, Kurtwood Smith, Gloria Rubin. The Innocents, during the bright Nordic summer, a group of children reveal their dark and mysterious powers when the adults aren't looking. This is an original and gripping supernatural thriller, and playtime takes a dangerous turn. I didn't write that, but I like it. And then Pleasure. This was a huge hit, I believe, at Sundance, not this year, but last year. It's a film that follows a 20-year-old woman named Linnea, who's played by Sophia Kappel, who arrives from Sweden to Los Angeles. It's in the glittering land of Hollywood that she assumes the identity of Bella Cherry, hoping to become an international adult movie star, but that path to fame comes with a slew of compromises and anguishes. As Bella starts to rise up in the industry, the stakes, too, are raised. Sorry, I'm 12. And some of her shoots become increasingly harrowing, and friends and lines of trust get blurred in the process. Also on Netflix, this is a Netflix one, Senior Year. Some of us couldn't wait to be done with high school, but what if your chance at all those classic senior year moments, prom, graduation, etc., were taken from you and you never got to experience them? Well, that's how it goes for Rebel Wilson's character in this comedy about a high schooler who ends up in a coma and wakes up 20 years later, desperate to reclaim her youth and get the prom queen title she was gunning for. Kind of reminds me of Blast from the Past a little bit. So, okay, of those for May 13th, Troy, this is your first go-around. What are you excited about? Anything? Or do you have questions about, thoughts about?
The Innocents looks creepy as hell. And because it's got kids doing creepy stuff, it has that Stephen King vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That it actually has more of a Stephen King vibe than Firestarter does. Firestarter looks like it'll be fine. It looks fairly well acted inside of the trailer. But Pleasure... I mean, the trailer is fascinating. If they really do kind of the documentary style yet fake story, right, fictional story, I think it could be really, really fascinating. I mean, it was just the whole trailer was riveting. I think Sophia Kappel does an amazing job in portraying this character of Bella Cherry just from the trailer alone. I think that has a really good chance of like really knocking the socks off of somebody.
Now, do you feel like that is an industry that doesn't get a lot of serious, I mean, you had Boogie Nights and whatnot, but not a lot of serious films are made from that topic, right? Usually, if they're talking about the adult porn industry, it's usually made for comedy or it's made for sexy time. You know, it's not made to actually take a rather mature look at that industry. Do you feel like it's gunning more for that from what you saw? I kind of did. I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, it looks like it's giving it its actual due, right? Versus like, say, The Girl Next Door, mm-hmm. where it was more of a gimmick in a thing to drive the story versus like really focus on the art at hand. Like this is truly looking at the industry itself, the things that sometimes the stars go through in order to make sure they're famous. And then the things that happen to them that they might not be necessarily consenting to. So I think it has a really good eye-opening story to tell about what really happens in the industry. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
I think we're starting to see a wave of content that focuses on more of those stories that were behind the doors that nobody would talk about, nobody wanted to take seriously, but we've seen glimpses of it through Euphoria with like cam girls and stuff. There's been some good movies about cam girls. There's Minx, which is on, what is it, HBO Max, which is talking about kind of the porn industry in terms of magazines. So I think this is a really good time for it to come out because we've had little stepping stones that have opened the door, so it's not too abrupt, and I think it looks great. I'm excited for Senior Year because it just looks hilarious. That trailer was fantastic, and Rebel Wilson, she just looks like she's having a really good time with it. Innocence, I did not feel like I was very interested in it. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't grip me from the trailer. But I'm interested in Firestarter. I Zac Efron, taking aside his High School Musical days, his career has really grown. And I adore him as an actor because he's so talented and he has so much variety in his performances. His
natural talent.
So
he
I'm
really
excited
does
for that.
Natural
yeah,
talent.
He does.
I just watched Baywatch.
Oh, that one's
yeah,
so good.
I don't
good.
Know why. I needed to pick me up. I'd had a long day or whatever, and I would put on Baywatch, and I'm like, God, I forgot how funny One Direction was in this.
Plus, Kurtwood Smith is in that one, and Kurtwood Smith always kills.
Literally, usually.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy. Yeah, that's on Peacock too, right? I believe.
Yes.
Firestarter is.
Dual release.
I mean, they're trying so hard. I mean, I believe Peacock is the streamer that's Fetch, right? They're just trying so hard to make Peacock happen.
Yep.
it's not clicking with people. I mean, I'm surprised it's lasted longer than CNN Plus, but still, CNN Plus is over, in case you didn't know. All right, May 20th, Downton Abbey.
What were you excited about?
Oh,
you
didn't tell us I did what not. You were well, about. I didn't know anyone would care because I just figured I'm the guy care. Here to read this stuff. Pleasure for sure. I like a serious look at a topic like that. I've got a close buddy of mine that I go backpacking with a few times a year, and multiple times we have talked about how he's been to Vegas several times for the Porn Star Awards. Okay, and when you first hear it, you're like, well, tell me all the sordid details.
I didn't know that they had awards.
Yeah, you get an award for that if you do it right.
Isn't that exactly...
Good for them, because that's a lot of work.
Exactly what they were doing in Girl Next Door at the end when they were trying to get everybody together when they were at the award show?
What was the guy that asked the question? He's like, fuck you, next. Whatever that was. I love that. So they have the Porn Star Awards, and he talks about it every time. And when he talks, or he's talked about it multiple times, and when he talks about it, you expect to hear some sort of details. And I'm like, tell me about all the people in the hallway doing cocaine and whatever. That's my impression of sex. But he said that he just talks about how fun it was and how great the people were and how they're just very normal and down to earth. And many of them are just, working. Some of them sure went out there to be famous. Others had sad stories, and it just, there's a lot more complexity to it than I think many of us who think we're better than porn stars really would acknowledge. And I want to hear that story. I want to see that story. So there you go. That's the one I'm probably most looking forward to. Senior Year is one that I will watch, though. It looks like the kind of movie that you can put on and it's background noise. Even if it's not great, you still enjoy it while you're checking Elon Musk's Twitter feed.
Right.
Because it's all going to be whatever he wants to talk about now.
Yeah, it's basically like Never Been Kissed, but Amnesia style.
Yeah, essentially. Coma style.
Never Been Kissed crossed with 51st Dates or something.
Mm-hmm. Downton Abbey, May 20th. We're back to May 20th. Downton Abbey, A New Era, 2022. Follow-up to the 2019 feature film in which the Crawley family and Downton staff received a royal visit from the King and Queen of Great Britain. This is actually, they're going to get involved with a good old-fashioned Hollywood movie. And, of course, Michelle Dockery and Maggie Smith are back and the rest of the cast. I will get ahead of this one. I did go to see the first Downton Abbey, and I did not like it. So,
really?
Yep.
That's because you also did not see the TV show.
That's true. I don't think I would have cared, Troy. I really don't. I really just don't think it's for me. I don't like uppities. And that's a movie and a show about uppities, where it's all about rich. They have staff that they talk about, too. But it's really about the uppers, and I just don't care about rich people that much. Next up is Men, which is about a young woman who goes on a solo vacation to the English countryside following the death of her ex-husband and sees creepy men everywhere. Written and directed by Alex Garland and stars Jesse Buckley and Roy Kinnear. And lastly, on Disney Plus, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale are living amongst cartoons and humans in modern-day Los Angeles, but their lives are very different now. It has been decades since their successful television show was canceled, and Chip has succumbed to a life of suburban domesticity as an insurance salesman. Dale, meanwhile, has had CGI surgery and works the nostalgia convention circuit, desperate to relive his glory days. When a former castmate mysteriously disappears, Chip and Dale must repair their broken friendship and take on their Rescue Rangers detective personas once again to save their friend's life. So it's a mix. It's kind of like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, right?
It's kind of like Beverly Hills 90210, and they're like playing themselves.
Sure.
In the reboot that they just had, where they were playing themselves in real life, but they were acting as their characters. So this is Chip and Dale in real life, but they have to go save their TV show counterpart.
Oh,
that's weird.
What do we think of any? I mean, I'm pretty stoked for Men. Just because it's Alex Garland, Ex Machina, and Annihilation. He's a Dread. He's great.
Yeah, I think Men seems very, very weird. And I also like Jesse Buckley. And so that one I'm definitely interested in seeing. I have some friends who really like Downton Abbey, and so they're excited about that. But it's not something I've ever gotten into. I'm lucky that I enjoyed Bridgerton. I think that's my limit of royalty shows and movies.
No sexy time in this. None. Although it would be amazing if Maggie Smith had a sex scene. Let her just get wild. Go ahead. I would go to the theater for that. Stunt principal.
I will, you know, if I'm looking, if I really just don't have anything to watch, I might watch Chippendale just because John Mulaney and Andy Samberg are funny and I enjoy them. But I don't think it's going to be like a great flick.
The theme song for Chippendale was nothing like DuckTales. DuckTales was so much better. They should have done a DuckTales show that was mm-hmm. better than the DuckTales show that they just remade because the kids were annoying in the new DuckTales.
Woohoo!
Yep.
So I think anyway. When I hear it.
Yeah, Men. Look, I saw the trailer in the theater and I'm like, this is wigged out.
Yeah, it looks wild.
I have no idea what's going on. I am super freaked out by this. And then when I saw it was Alex Garland, it was like, okay, I guess I have to go see it. Twist my arm.
Yeah. Speaking of twist my arm, yeah. I wonder what the twist is going to be because there's got to be something more to it.
The second time I saw the trailer, I thought it's the same guy. So it's like a split personality, split kind of feel to it. That's why there's men, plural, of a single person. That's my take.
It'd be interesting. I mean, the trailer gives the appearance that the ex-husband kind of killed himself, right? Or fell off a roof. So maybe it was murder or something like that. I mean, there's mysterious circumstances surrounding his death. Would you get that?
Most likely foul play. Led to believe suicide, but probably not.
Okay. See if you figure this out 5 minutes into that movie. Let's go to me.
Maybe she did it and she's seeing men everywhere because she's haunted by her guilt.
Could be too.
Oh, damn it. If that's the ending, it's going to be pretty fantastic and prophetic. Good for you. We'll come back to this timestamp of this, people. Now let's move on to May 27th. Now there's a couple things that come out. First one, the Bob's Burgers movie. I don't watch this animation at all. I don't know much about it. The Belchers try to save the restaurant from closing as a sinkhole forms in front of it while the kids try to solve a mystery that could save their family's restaurant.
Boy, don't put any enthusiasm into it.
Yeah, I mean, this is like when the Simpsons movie came out and everybody was like, why are they going to make a Simpsons movie? And the Simpsons movie actually was really good because it was the best version of Under the Dome possible. So this could have the possibility of actually being pretty fantastic for Bob's Burgers fans.
I've seen this trailer now at least 10 times and I've not liked it once.
Because you're not a Bob's Burgers fan.
I just said that. I've never seen it. That's why I can't put emphasis on it. You want me to sell a movie that I don't care about the car? I just don't care.
Yes.
God, Bob's Burgers are coming out, people. The Belchers are trying to save the restaurant from closing. The sinkhole forms in front of it. Why wouldn't you go see this? The kids are trying to help. They want to solve the mystery and save their family's restaurant. Jesus Christ, go see it. Is that better?
There you go. Yeah, now I kind of want to see it. Not like you really emphasize that the kids are trying to do something to save their family's restaurant. This is a family movie. Oh, man,
take your kids. Take them. And then drop them and get your ass to the other side of the theater and see Top Gun Maverick. After more than 30 years of service as one of the Navy's top aviators, Pete Mitchell is where he belongs, pushing the envelope as a courageous test pilot and dodging the advancement and rank that would ground him. I was in the Navy. No, he would not be flying at his age. It just would not happen. I'm sorry, but I don't care because this looks fantastic. It's directed by Joseph Kaczynski, stars Tom Cruise, Jennifer Connelly, Miles, goddamn, Teller, and Val Kilmer, I'm sure, as more of a cameo. So, Top Gun Maverick. We've talked about Bob's Burgers. I hope everybody enjoys that one. And I mean, take your
family. If they throw in a Welcome to Bob's Burgers, Home of the Bob Burger, May I Take Your Order in the movie, then I might go see Bob's Burgers. Because it's actually a remake.
Well, you won't know until you go see it. If they're going to do that,
it's a cartoon version of Good Burger. This will be awesome.
I can't wait to see Top Gun Maverick. There's a few of my.
It's only been what 2 years that we've been waiting to see this film.
Yeah, it's been a couple years, and I've got a few friends of mine. We went and saw the original Top. Not the. We didn't see it when it came out, obviously, but we saw a reissue of Top Gun a few years ago, and we all went wearing our tank tops and our aviators and everything. I mean, all we needed was a volleyball and we would have had the best party ever. And we're planning on getting together and doing it again for this go round. I can't wait for Top Gun Maverick. I am stoked.
Aw, that's cute.
Did you just cute my adventure?
Yeah,
I put all that shit into Bob's reuniting. Burgers. Give me a little bit for Top Gun Maverick, all right? Because this looks, I feel the need for speed.
Oh, I feel the need to stay home.
Well, that's right. I forgot you hate the man.
It's Memorial Day. There's 4 days in the weekend. You'll have to go to the movie at least one day that weekend.
I got a feeling she's skipping it.
I mean, I'll probably see it for sure.
Because nothing else is coming out.
Other than Bob's Burgers.
Isn't that weird? That's kind of weird, right? From even Memorial Day weekend, I don't...
For Memorial Day weekend, heck yeah. That's super bizarre.
Once Top Gun landed there, everybody else was like, nope, I'm done. Hold my thing till the 4th of July.
I don't think it's going to be that... I feel like that's more of a nostalgia movie, though. I don't know. Is it going to be a monster? It's not like a Fast 27 or whatever.
It's going
to
be...
You know, you do have to remember, though, that it's like it's military related. A lot of people are going to be getting together for Memorial Day. So families are going to be together honoring those who served and died. And so I think there's a really good opportunity to have people go as a family to celebrate the holiday and also see something that was from a follow-up from years and years
I believe
years
for 2 years we've been waiting since that first note drop of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, oh my god, it's coming, I can't believe it's gonna happen. For 2 years that pent up, yes, you have to go see it.
The pent up in homosexuality IMAX, that's what it is.
It's totally that.
Geez, oiled up guys playing volleyball still sits in my mind. Obviously I've got a side of me I'm not aware of.
You're aware of it because you just stated it. Great. Oh, balls boy. Of fire.
June 3rd, Watcher. Now, this is one where we, Amanda and I, have actually seen this, so we can actually speak to it pretty well. A young woman moves into a new apartment. No, I'm sorry. I saw this one. Amanda, you didn't see this one. I did. A young woman moves into a new apartment with her fiancé, only to be tormented by the feeling that she's being stalked by an unseen watcher in an adjacent building, stars Micah Monroe. And also, we have Fire Island coming out on Hulu. Two best friends set out to have a legendary week-long summer vacation at the LGBTQ-friendly island. And this is... I believe this is Bowen Yang, right? Yeah, Bowen Yang stars in this. And again, it's going to be on Hulu. And those are the two big ones for June 3rd. Now, usually June 3rd is not one where you get major releases. So I guess Watcher is the bit. This is it for theatrical. And I did see that. It's a very good movie. Like, it's a really entertaining thriller. It's very Hitchcockian. Don't expect it to be a big summer hit, but I hope it is.
Yeah, it's in between two holiday periods because you're between Father's Day and Memorial Day. School is just kind of getting out. People are trying to unwind and have fun. So I don't think that either of these movies are going to do well in their respective... I mean, Fire Island's on Hulu, but for Watcher, though, it sounds like it's 100% up my alley, and it looks like it. And the reviews are pretty solid, so...
Yeah, no, the trailer didn't do it for me. I was kind of bored.
Watcher?
Yeah.
That's how I felt about Fire Island.
I'm telling you, I've seen Watcher. I will say it is very much a slow burn thriller. But if you like those kinds of movies, The Bedroom Window is another one. I mean, it's very similar in terms of, you know, it ramps up the tension as you go. And then it really builds to an ending that's kind of wild. So I recommend.
Does it have more of like an Invisible Man vibe to it?
No. It really plays on our assumptions and how this woman is alone in an apartment and she keeps seeing someone across the way who seems to be looking at her. So she starts kind of obsessing that he's watching her. And as the movie builds, you're unsure, is he really watching her or is she watching him?
Mm. Who's watching who? Mm-hmm.
Mm. So it begins a kind of a play on that.
And then it's just a cutout of a boy that they borrowed from Three Men and a Baby.
Sure. All right. With that, moving on to June 10th.
Well, Fire Island, Island looks like it could be fun, right? I think the problem is...
I like Bowen Yang. So, I mean, he's funny on Saturday Night Live, and I think he's a riot.
I like Margaret Cho, who's in it. I
don't like Margaret Cho, but I'll still see the movie.
My issue with the trailer was are they going to go for like real and tap into the homosexuality side of this? Or is this like a stereotypical gay movie, right? Where they overplay it and overhype
it? That's what it
looks
like.
Very overhyped and very... cookie cutter cliche
boring
highlighted accents,
that's how I felt,
stuff like that. Well, I hope that,
which is fine, but I feel like I obviously am somebody who wants more of that content, but do it in a manner that's much more, I don't know, natural, where the whole story isn't just around that, because then it feels like it's forced and it's not, you're not gonna have something that's successful and honors what you're trying to honor.
Maybe they're just trying to make a dumb comedy.
I like the concept that they have about coming to this place and they're like a family and they kind of hang out together, you know, and they, you know, work through each other's issues and problems and stuff. but some of the guys, it just looks so stereotypical. Mm. Doesn't make you feel good watching it.
Well, it's written and starring Joel Kim Booster. I don't know Joel, but you know, good for him.
Okay.
Just letting you know. All right, now we go to June 10th, Jurassic World Dominion. 4 years after the destruction of Isla Nublar, dinosaurs now live and hunt alongside humans all over the world because those idiots let them go. Anyway, that's another question for another day.
Volcano was the issue. I mean, come on.
They let them free at the PETA event. They basically, you know, when they were selling off the animals...
They let them go.
They let them free where they know that the was it Claire and Owen? They let them go where they know they are going to kill civilians. So they basically murdered people. I'm just saying. They're not heroes anymore. Well, anyway, this fragile balance will reshape the future and determine once and for all whether human beings are to remain the apex predators on a planet they now share with history's most fearsome creatures. Seems to me, just make sure it's really cold and they'll go away.
Yeah.
Also, Hustle. After discovering a once-in-a-lifetime player with a rocky past abroad, a down-on-his-luck basketball scout, played by Adam Sandler, takes it upon himself to bring the phenom to the States without his team's approval. Against the odds, they have one final shot to prove they have what it takes to make it in the NBA. And, such as Adam Sandler, Robert Duvall, Queen Latifah, Ben Foster. Holy crap, the cast is stacked.
I mean, Jurassic World is a no-brainer, especially because the returning cast from the first movies. So... you have to go see it in the theater. That's a given. But Hustle actually looks really, really entertaining. And Adam Sandler being able to do a non-comedy type role, I think, is always a good bet because, you know, he shines. He's a good actor. And, mm-hmm. and I like seeing him do other stuff than just the comedy stupidity that he usually does.
Unpopular opinion. I am not super excited for Jurassic World, but I am excited to see Hustle. Because
why are you not excited for Jurassic World Dominion?
I just feel like I'm over it. I don't know how you guys feel. I mean, I'm going to watch it and I'll probably enjoy it when I do see it. But this franchise has never been, this rebooted franchise, I should specify, has never had me feeling like, ooh, I want to go back and rewatch those right now. It's time to watch the new one. I'll go out there and I'll have fun and I'll enjoy it. But it's just... I don't know. I don't get really buzzed for it.
It's just like the first three movies. The first one was really great. The second one was, and then the third one was, you know, back to form because Sam Neill returned. So same thing. First one was really good. Second one was, and then Sam Neill returns. So
100% reboot.
All right. I mean, I want to see how they're going to make up for the horrible choices Claire and Owen have made. That's all I want. I want to, you basically doom the earth. And to the dinosaur age again. And I kind of want to know how you're going to retcon that. And it's cool that you're bringing Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern back so they can just sit there and go, you guys aren't complete assholes. But secretly, you know, it's kind of like Chris Pratt is really the guy that keeps dooming the world. Because in, what, Infinity War, he's the reason that everybody, half the galaxy died. Because, you know, he couldn't just keep his temper down. And then he's letting all the dinosaurs out. Maybe Chris Pratt should just stop making decisions that affect humanity.
But he did protect the world in Tomorrow War. So,
yeah, that's one. One out of three ain't bad.
Hey, 333 in baseball gets you a multi-bazillion dollar contract.
And I'm with you in terms of Hustle. I am stoked for Hustle. I love Adam Sandler when he actually does some acting. He is a talented actor. And I think he's hilarious as well. But he's also a talented actor. I still think he should have gotten an Oscar nom for Uncut Gems. I think he was robbed.
Uncut Gems is great. Punch Drunk Love is great.
Mm-hmm. He's good in dramatic roles. All right. Well, June 17th, we've got three. Man, so June's a good month. Brian and Charles is coming out after a particularly harsh winter. Brian goes into a deep depression, completely isolated and with no one to talk to. Brian does what any sane person would do when faced with such a melancholic situation. He builds a robot. Feels like Choi's life story. Cha-Cha, mm-hmm. Real Smooth, Apple TV+, a college graduate, gets a job as a party starter and befriends a young mother, played by Dakota Johnson, and her autistic daughter. Also stars Leslie Mann, Cooper Rafe, Brad Garrett. It's got a pretty decent cast.
Apple TV. Apple has lots of cash.
They might be buying football. Good for them. And lastly, Lightyear, Story of Buzz Lightyear and his adventures to infinity and beyond. This is CGI animation, but it's voiced by Chris Evans. He's voicing Buzz Lightyear, not Tim Allen.
Because Tim Allen is the toy version of Buzz Lightyear. This is the actual Buzz Lightyear. So the way this story came about...
This is still a cartoon, Troy. It's not real.
But the way the story came about is when they pitched the character of Buzz Lightyear for Toy Story, this was the treatment that they gave for why the Buzz character came into existence. So the fact that it was like a mini story about Buzz's beginnings as the pitch, and now that got turned into what this movie is going to become, I think that's freaking fantastic.
You sound stoked.
I am super stoked. This is going to be so much fun. And I can't see it because I won't be around that weekend. I have to wait till like Tuesday.
Aww.
I am so going to spoil the crap out of this. All the times you spoil things for me, I'm going to send you a text telling you the last scene. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, I will tell you that the robot in Brian and Charles looks ridiculous.
In a positive way, or?
I think that's intentional, though.
I mean, he's trying to make it out of whatever he has around his house, right? I mean.
It looks like a cute movie, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think so. I think they all look good. Yeah, I'm actually really excited for Cha-Cha Real Smooth, too. I mean, obviously, we're all going to go see Lightyear. But Brian and Charles, I think that could turn out to be something.
I'm going to see Brian and Charles over Lightyear. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. I understand. But you know, like the cartoons, trailer didn't wow me.
I'm not a big cartoon guy.
The trailer didn't wow me, but having Chris Evans, Kiki Palmer, and Taika Waititi is okay. All right. I've got to watch it. But I've heard really, really, or seen really, really great reviews for Cha-Cha Real Smooth.
It looks really interesting. I mean, I feel like there's no real losers here this weekend. So that's good. Always a plus. Now, June 24th, it's got a couple interesting ones. Elvis, thank you very much. So look at the legendary rock and roll star Elvis Presley. Baz Luhrmann stars Tom Hanks, Austin Butler, and Dacre Montgomery from Stranger Things is going to be in this bad boy too. And then we've got The Black Phone, which I believe premiered at Sundance to rave reviews. This is Scott Derrickson. This is the movie he made instead of Doctor Strange 2. It stars Ethan Hawke and Jeremy Davies. It's about after being abducted by a child killer and locked in a soundproof basement, a 13-year-old boy starts receiving calls on a disconnected phone from the killer's previous victims. Ooh, oh, there's one more. I forgot. Marcel, the shell with the shoes on. Once part of a sprawling community of shells, they now live alone as the sole survivors of a mysterious tragedy. When a documentary filmmaker discovers them amongst the clutter of his Airbnb, the short film he posts online brings Marcel millions of passionate fans, as well as unprecedented dangers and a new hope at finding his long-lost family. I feel like one of you, maybe both of you, will be stoked for all three of these films.
For sure. And I've heard, again, great things about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. What a tongue twister.
Say that three times fast.
Because that one that one was at South By, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And people raved about it. I believe so. People raved about it.
Yeah. I think it won some awards, too. The Black Phone, though, I have to say that's one that I've been looking forward to. And I cannot wait to see it. And Elvis, Tom Hanks, 100%. I'm in.
Yeah, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is just friggin' adorable.
It is.
And the fact that they can bring this to the big screen, I'll give Aaron the link. Maybe he can put it in the show notes if he wants to. Not that I'm going to tell him to do it, but he should put it in there. But the fact that this actually came from a short YouTube video like 12 years ago and then became a book series for kids. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh. Like, if it plays out the way it should play, I mean, it's going to be a tearjerker for sure. And the film style is super unique because it's like CGI on top of like real life set backgrounds. So from a cinematic perspective, this should probably be nominated for some Oscars, I would think, down the line for cinematography. But yeah, definitely check out Marcel for sure with the family. But Black Phone, yeah, super, super stoked for Black Phone. The whole supernatural, I can have dreams and feel the sequences and stuff that's coming. I think that's right up my alley. Elvis, I'm super nervous about. It could be Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah. And it could be Rocket Man. It's and really it's like right down the line right now. I don't know. I'm super.
I liked Rocket Man.
No.
I think Austin Butler actually has a really good Elvis going, right? I think he's really got the vibes. And I know a lot of people just say, well, Tom Hanks. I mean, it's Tom Hanks. You got to look.
Yep.
Mm. His accent in the trailer bothers me to the point where I'm praying it doesn't do that in the movie because it'll really take me out of it.
And you don't know how much Tom Hanks is actually in this, right? Because it's really Austin Butler's movie. It's mm-hmm. not Tom Hanks' movie.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Austin Butler, to Aaron's point, though, he does have wonderful Elvis vibes about him. Like the way he, it's not even just the way he physically looks, it's the way he carries himself and all of that demeanor.
But I mean, you could.
Not that Elvis and I hung out on the weekends or anything.
But you could have Rami Malek look exactly like Freddie, right? And then have a really bad story.
True.
So.
Either way, I mean, there's the thing I like about several of these weekends is it goes back to, it feels like it's more the summers of maybe a decade ago where it wasn't four or five movies every weekend. Because that's what we've had the last few years before the pandemic hit, right? You get like four or five movies, three of them flop, two of them do well. So you have three movies that just bottomed out every single weekend and you ended up with a lot of garbage. I feel like there's a lot more, there's a lot less quantity, but I feel like we're getting more quality.
Quality. Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of originality. People keep saying, I want to see more original stuff. Then go see it when it's out, man. Because if you don't go see it, they're not going to keep making it. They're just going to do more Fast and Furious movies without Justin Lin, sadly.
When they go under the water in a sub to Atlantis.
Oh, God. And then we see Ezra Miller and Amber Heard there teamed up under the water. And they just leave them there and they go out their next universe. Okay. All right. So July 1st, Minions, The Rise of Gru. The untold story of one 12-year-old's dream to become the world's greatest villains. And, of course, Steve Carell returns to voice Gru, the mighty Gru. And also, Taraji P. Henson's in this. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is on the cast list. I haven't seen a trailer for it, but you want to get me into an animated movie? Give me the voice of Jean-Claude Van Damme. I don't know why. It makes sense. Also, on Amazon, Shotgun Wedding. This is Jennifer Lopez and Josh Duhamel. A couple's extravagant destination wedding is hijacked by criminals. In the process of saving their families, they rediscover why they fell in love in the first place. And I'm sure I can tell you everything that's going to happen in this movie 30 seconds into the trailer.
Yeah, 100%. I'm still going to watch it, don't get me wrong. And the fact that they have Jennifer Coolidge and Darcy Carden in it, there's no way I'm not going to watch this. That's all I'm going to say. Minions, though, that movie is going to make so much freaking money. It is disgusting how much money this movie is going to make because kids and adults alike love the Gru.
He's really popular.
Screw Gru, man. People like Bob. Bob's amazing.
True.
Was this like the fourth Minions movie or Gru movie?
Well, there's three Despicable Me movies, and this would be the second Minions movie.
Oh my gosh.
Full on Transformers.
And honestly, the first mm-hmm. Minions movie was dope. I mean, it was so funny.
It was really good.
It was wow. It was great. Like I like Despicable Me, the first one, the second and third. I could totally never see those again. But the first Minions movie was great. It was really, really good.
No, it wasn't great. It was dope.
Was it doper than Toy Story 1 through 4?
No, it's not okay. Like that. It's a different kind of dope. It was super funny and super creative.
Troy had like took offense to you saying that.
How dare you? How dare he?
I can't believe you would insult totally me by down, even
was,
saying
he
such
was,
thing.
Me. He just looked at
I
me
was
like
on
no.
the floor crying when they were going into the incinerator, and it's like I can't believe it's gonna happen.
Oh my God! I went with a bunch of friends. We had like a row in the theater, and we were all grown ass adults
sobbing. And then the claw comes out and I stood up and applauded. I was like, that is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen in cinematic history. The claw. It was like,
that feels wow. extreme, but yeah.
A bit extreme, but it was a dope claw. I get it.
And then they totally like had to bring it back for the fourth movie and ruin it. And then they just like, oh my God, the badge in the fourth movie. It's just like, oh.
Well,
Toy Story's great.
Moving on to July 8th, Thor.
Oh boy. Thor, oh boy.
Love and Thunder.
The controversy of the summer.
Boob Thor returns. Thor enlists the help of Valkyrie, Korg, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster to fight Gore the God Butcher, who intends to make the gods extinct. Stars Karen Gillan, Taika Waititi, Christian Bale, Natalie Portman, and of course Chris Hemsworth, and a ton of gold and cheese. So that's really all that's coming out, because everybody else said, no, we're not even going to try. We're going to vacate. This movie is going to dominate. And I'm sure it will be a monster, monster hit that I have very little interest in seeing. So you guys go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
Natalie Portman looks amazing at the end of the trailer.
She's been doing some curls, right?
Just that alone. Just that alone. With the broken hammer. It's going to be good.
You know, so Aaron and I feel very similar about the last Thor Ragnarok, in that he was very boobish, right? I don't get that same sense, though, with this one.
How do you not get it? I mean, that every joke is still, just look at the ones you love. And then he's just like, leaning over
it's
a little bit.
It's funny
like,
as hell. Me. It's great.
It's not Thor. Thor is a god of thunder, not the god of cheesy one-liners.
He's you know what I will say, though? Even from the first movie, he's never accepted that he was the god of thunder that should be doing the god things. He always kind of marched his own path from the beginning.
I will say that I feel like Thor's character is very inconsistent across all of the movies. He feels like the most inconsistent Marvel character that we've seen, because everybody else, I feel like I can describe to you their personality type and you can picture them in your head. Thor is the one where it's like sometimes he's serious, sometimes he's jokey. Like, it really just depends. And in this trailer, my first thought was I felt like maybe he was imitating, oh God, why can't I think of his character's name? Chris Pratt's character a little bit too much. Star-Lord. Yeah.
But he's like bromancing with Star-Lord at the end of the movie. So now they're transitioning into this. So he's playing the exact character you expect him to play in a Guardians like movie.
Just like he played the same of the galaxy, as they say.
But he also played the same kind of character in Ragnarok when he was playing across Hulk, right? So it's like,
but that's what I mean, is his character has just been very inconsistent across all of the movies. Like, if you take his trajectory, it doesn't feel like it's been a natural progression to see him get.
Feels
to
like
where
they
he's
rebooted
at.
Him mid series.
That's a good way to.
Because he
put
felt
it.
Like it was his fault that the snap happened.
No, they rebooted him in, I mean, Ragnarok, which came before Infinity War. Yes, I believe so. I don't remember the time frame, but I'm not going to sit here. I'm sure someone's screaming at the radio and
before.
I just don't care.
Yeah, before.
So, you know, that was, they rebooted him for there. You know, and they gave him that bitch and haircut and he's fighting his sister. And it was very cheeky then, because that's when Taika Waititi came into effect. Look, I'm sure it'll be a fun movie. It's just, I didn't love Ragnarok. I was fine. You know, I think I gave it a 6 out of 10. It's enjoyable. I've rewatched it. I didn't like it as much as a 6 out of 10 when I rewatched it. So to me, that's not a good sign. Now, I like Taika Waititi, so no, you can't throw that at me. It's just a matter of it just didn't, too colorful, whatever. And this feels like they're just throwing the crayon box at the screen.
That's because Dark World was so bad.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I agree with you there. I agree. And you know what? When I first saw that one, I really enjoyed it. And then I watched it again. I'm like, I was on a Marvel high. I was on Amanda's Fantastic Beast 2 high. I was on that same high. I was on the Marvel high where I just thought, this is so much better than it really is. It's kind of an awful movie. But everybody's going to see it. Doesn't matter what I think. So Thor, Love and Thunder, check it out. Natalie Portman looks awesome. And if Christian Bale's in it, it is definitely going to have some acting chops to it.
Yep, yep.
Now, July 15th. Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. Say that 3 times real fast. A widowed cleaning lady in 1950s London falls madly in love with a couture d'or dress and decides that she must have one of her own. I have a feeling my wife is going to make me see this 3 times. Stars Rose Williams, Jason Isaacs, Anna Chancellor, and Leslie Manville. Father of the Bride on HBO Max. Set against multiple relationships within a big, sprawling Cuban-American family, a father must come to grips with his daughter's upcoming wedding. Stars Andy Garcia, Didi Gardner, and Andrea Arjona. And Nope
is a separate week.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's July 22nd.
Yes.
Well.
Which is funny, because when he said nope, I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I felt about those two movies. Nope.
That's what I thought he was saying too. Father of the Bride, I might watch, but I have less than zero interest in Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
I mean, it's a great reboot of, like, I think it was Angela Lansbury that did it way back in the 50s. And it, it, could have some fun play on it, I would think. But yeah, this is kind of like the, oh man, let's go see Thor Love and Thunder again.
I'll watch Father of the Bride. That sounds interesting. And Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, like I said, my wife will make me go see it. So it's about a Dior dress. I'm sure I'm required by law or something. She likes fashion. All right, July 22nd. Nope, all the nopes, all the nopes. Jordan Peele, the greatest director of all time, according to Amanda's...
Hush it!
Greatest, most cinematic, most visionary, most competent, and most horrific.
The
best that has ever lived, ever done this game. Jordan Peele directs a movie about the residents of a lonely gulch in inland California who bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. It kind of looks like Aliens, but we don't know. But it's got Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, Stephen Yeun, and Michael Wincott. Michael Wincott. Oh, the crow guy. Cool. Where the Crawdads Sing. A woman who raised herself in the marshes of the Deep South becomes a suspect in the murder of a man she was once involved with. Stars Daisy Edgar Jones, Garrett Dillahunt, which I know Brian, former host of the show, absolutely loves him. He will see anything that guy does. So now this one's definitely on my list. It's based on a very popular book. I know that. Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank. Hank, a lovable dog with a head full of dreams about becoming a samurai, sets off in search of his destiny. What was that for?
I just don't like that name. And I don't like the way you said it, like Hank. Hank. Sorry. I don't know. It just feels gross. I don't like the way it sounds, and I don't like the way it feels in my mouth and throat when the word is said.
Wow. Okay. Well, it has the voice talents of Michelle Yeoh, Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Cera, and Mel Brooks. And
that's what makes it redeemable.
I've heard
I guess.
It's kind of a animated remake of Blazing Saddles or something. I don't know if that's completely accurate, but that's what I heard.
Yeah, the trailer is terrible. No. The trailer is so bad.
Is it?
Yeah. Like this movie does not look good at all. The Kung Fu Panda was cute. Like you just call it Kung Fu Panda and bring a panda back. I know trademarks and stuff, but it's not good. It does not look good.
All right. Well, okay. So where are we between Nope and Where the Crawdads Sing? Because I know that's a very popular book.
Both for sure. The Crawdads. The book is amazing. The twist at the end is pretty fun.
Have you read it? Really,
what's that?
Have you read it?
Yeah.
Okay. So give me a better description, I guess. Is it just a murder mystery?
Yeah, it's a two time period piece where you end up in the first time period. It's like when she is a very young girl and you learn about her family and how basically her family all leaves, including her father, who is abusive. And then she's basically living in this marshland all by herself. Right. And so she literally has to be taught how to be almost a human again. And then through the course of learning about being human, she gets infatuated with a boy who ends up leaving her also. And then it fast forwards to when she's like 19, 20 years old. And then there's this, you know, trying to live life as a college age girl and trying to figure that out and that kind of stuff. There's some involvement with a boy. The boy basically uses her. And then the old boyfriend comes back. And then there's like a murder mystery element to it between the three of them.
It felt like The Notebook with murder. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm really interested in that now.
Yeah, it's a good like whodunit, and do you believe if she did it, did somebody else do it? You know, who is the killer basically at the end of it?
Now, I know a friend of the show, Paula, she actually recommended that I read this book. I'm curious, since you have read it, is it a worthy read or should I just wait for the movie? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it just depends if you like reading.
Well, I mean, there's no right way to answer that one. No, I don't.
I mean, you could.
Is it written well?
Is it written great? Are there pictures?
No, it was a bestseller for 2 years. I mean, it's a good read. I would think it's like you run the risk of what was the show on Apple TV? Jacob.
Oh, Defending Jacob?
Defending Jacob, where the book was much better than what the ending of the Apple TV show ended up being. So man, you could run into that risk if you see the movie first.
Still mad about that ending. So mad about that ending. The book ending is great.
Great.
Absolutely great. And the show ending is shit. Total cop out. So Amanda, let's go back to Nope here for a second, because you have praised the Jordan Peele before.
I have praised his work, yes.
Do you get excited for this one then? I mean,
I do. And I like that there's not a ton of information around it. It feels very ominous and it feels very mysterious in terms of what to expect and what is going to come from it. So, and the cast, I mean, the cast alone, regardless of who the director is, would get me into the theater to watch this. 100%.
Is it possible for Daniel Kaluuya to not be the coolest guy in whatever he's in?
No. Nope. Nope.
I swear, no matter what I see him in, I'm like, he's the coolest guy in this movie. He's always the coolest guy in this
movie.
He
has so much like swagger. Movement.
Guy's got swagger.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just got a feeling like he walks into a, not that he ever needs to walk into a department store, but if he walked into a department store, everybody would just be like, damn, dude's cool.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah. Awesomeness. I don't have that. I'm going to cry inside. All right. July 29th. I'm pretty stoked for one of these. Bullet Train is coming out. And it stars Brad Pitt, Sandra Bullock, Zazie Beetz, Joey King, and a whole bunch of other people. Five assassins aboard a fast-moving bullet train find out their missions have something in common. My God, this is summer again. Yes! Then you got DC League of Super Pets. This should be a fun family flick. Crypto, the super dog, and Superman are inseparable best friends, sharing the same superpowers and fighting crime side-by-side Metropolis. However, Crypto must master his own powers for a rescue mission when Superman is kidnapped. The voices of Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, and I haven't checked into this, but I'm really hoping The Rock is Superman and Kevin Hart is Crypto the Superdog. I just think that will work. Yeah, so those are the two that come out July 29th. But also on July 28th, a remake of House Party, the Kid and Play classic, and I do mean classic, but this is being remade. Two best friends decide to throw a raging house party at one of their houses when the friends' parents go away. Stars LeBron James and Stephen Glover, or at least they have cameos in it. Okay, that's not getting me excited. But so of these three, what are we excited about? I'm saying Bullet Train right off the bat.
Bullet Train,
150%. It looks fantastic.
Isn't it cool to see Brad Pitt being? I mean, he's Daniel Kaluuya. I mean, he's just very similar. He always looks like he's the coolest guy in the room.
Oh,
put
no
those
kidding.
Two in a movie together. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, ooh, that would be pretty fantastic.
This is one that's directed by David Leitch, who did Deadpool 2. So you know the action's going to be fun. And it looks like it's going to have a lot of comedy. Brad Pitt's doing a lot of fisticuffs in this one. I mean, it feels like the perfect summer flick.
Yeah. Popcorn at the ready.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I do want to know, the DC League of Super Pets.
No.
You guys are both more into animated films than I am. Is this one where you would make a trip to the theater for, or is this one where you wait?
Probably not.
I don't got 5 or 8-year-old nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Not your own kids, though? Like, you're not going to subject them to this crap or what?
Well, my kids are way out. My kids are all high school, so they would never go see this. They're too cool.
Wow. They would be going to Bullet Train, right?
They'd be going to see Bullet Train.
Absolutely. Understood. Not Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank?
No. They would be kicked out of my house if they went and saw that.
All right. Well, that's a good month. See, we've got. I mean, really, two really great months. And then, I mean, May is, you know, I don't think they want to get in the Doctor Strange aftermath is really what a lot of that is.
I think that's fair.
And May is always hard, too, because you have to deal with the end of the television season.
And there's actually two blockbusters in May. You have Doctor Strange and you also have Top Gun. So those are one at the beginning, one at the end. The in-between, I don't think that that's like a really good prime spot because there's usually a lot of like graduation parties going on and things like that. Yep, Mother's Day. Although usually there's a pretty good Mother's Day movie to watch. So that's a good point. We didn't have anything like that.
Pleasure.
Okay.
Hey, Mom. This is why I can't make it because I'm out in Hollywood.
Or happening if you're regretting having kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's kind of like, is there an Easter movie? What Mother's Day movie do you watch? The Happening.
You know what? I keep seeing recently when Easter, you know, Easter just passed a week or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. I don't even remember anymore. I don't really celebrate it, but people were buying their kids gifts. Like, what are you buying your kids gifts for Easter? I don't understand. When does Easter become Christmas? Isn't it about a gut?
My mom used to get me gifts for Easter, like an entire basket and like other little gifts that went with it.
You're supposed to get the candy and that's it. It's about a guy hiding behind a rock. It's not about getting gifts. I don't understand.
I'm very sad I don't get these Easter baskets anymore.
Look, man, I'm just going to be straight with you right now. For 3 days, he had to live off of something. So why couldn't he have lived off candy?
You think Jesus wasn't living off Peeps?
Definitely was not living off Peeps because that is literally hell. But
no wonder he left. He's like, I got to get real food. These things are killing me.
They just explode all the time because of the heat.
Oh, gross. All right, moving on to August 5th. And there's one great movie in here. I'm giving you a heads up. There's one great movie, and this one Amanda did see as well. Okay, so...
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't see that one either. God, your life sucked. Why did you even go to South By?
My life did suck.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I saw all the cool ones. So,
were you even at the festival, or did you just make up your reviews?
She napped a lot.
No, I was there. I did nap a lot. I did. But I did see a lot of movies. This was just one that I couldn't get a ticket to.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a good movie.
Remember?
Yeah, I remember watching it. I enjoyed it.
Shut the hell up.
All right, so August 5th, Secret Headquarters. Young Charlie Kincaid, who discovers a secret headquarters under his home that seems to belong to a superhero. He shares it with his friends, and they start to believe that his estranged father might have a secret double life. Stars Walker Scobell, Owen Wilson, Michael Pena, and Jesse Williams. Please let Owen Wilson be the superhero, because, wow.
So really, we're talking at Spy Kids?
Essentially. Kind of. Seems that way, doesn't it?
Okay.
Next up.
And plus, can we just say Jesse Williams as the villain will never fly?
Do we,
yeah, well, we you know what? Him? Maybe and maybe not. He did have a movie, and God, I am so sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but he did have one. It was something about violence, and he was pretty good in that one, and it had like more of a darker, serious role. But I feel like his general look, like his physical appearance, is why it makes it hard to believe he'd be a bad guy. But I think he'd be a perfect serial killer.
Oh yeah.
Like, if he were to play some sort of Ted Bundy type personality in a movie, oh my God, it would be perfect.
You guys are missing the point. And Michael Pena is in this, and it's about superheroes, and he doesn't tell a story about a guy who knew a guy who did it. I don't want to see it.
True that.
Next up, great movie, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. When a group of 20-something rich kids plan a hurricane party at a remote family mansion, a party game turns violent in this fresh and funny look at backstabbing, fake friends, and one party gone very, 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 very wrong. And it stars Pete Davidson. Don't let that deter you. He's actually pretty good in the movie. Amanda Stenberg, Maria Baklava, and a whole bunch of other people. But my review is actually, my full review is on the website, thehollywoodoutsider.com. It is worth checking out because this is a fun movie. Luck. Apple TV Plus, the story of Sam, the unluckiest person in the world who discovers the land of luck and must unite with magical creatures there to turn her luck around. Stars Simon Pegg and Whoopi Goldberg and John Lasseter. Yeah. Okay. So that's Luck.
And yeah. Luck is the, what do you call it? The standard kids cartoon that you have to fill the slate with.
Feels like it.
Service.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
And also there's more. Yeah, there's more. Not Okay. Oh, wow. It's going to be on Hulu. A misguided young woman desperate for friends and fame takes a trip to Paris to update her social media presence. Terrifying incident takes place in the real world, which becomes a part of the imaginary trip and offers all she wanted. Got Zoe Deutsch. That's what I like to say her name. Zoe Deutsch, Dylan O'Brien, and then Beth Davids. And allegedly, now this is on the schedule. I haven't seen anything about this. I don't know if I believe it yet or not. But Guns 3, alias Billy the Kid. Supposedly, this is Young Guns 3. Supposedly. Supposedly, it's the third installment of the Young Guns film franchise. I do know that they have been working on this. Emilio Estevez is directing it. He's returning to star in it. Lou Diamond Phillips is in it. Christian Slater's in it. I have heard rumors about this for a couple years. I know Lou Diamond Phillips actually confirmed it not too long ago, but I haven't seen anything about this actually being released. So until I see a trailer, I'm just putting it on here as tentative. They've mentioned that it comes out in August. I pray it does because I love that series.
But as
of right now, that's where we're at. Okay. Now, the rest of them, where are we at? What are we excited about?
Yeah, I literally wrote the exact same words for Young Guns 3, potentially. I said, I won't believe it till I see it.
Yep. I want to see it, though.
Not Okay looks really good, though. It's got kind of the, I guess, Evan Hansen angle, but instead of the whole suicide bent to it, it's more of the social media bent, but the same kind of thing of around, you know, making up a fake story to make yourself better, and then shit hits fan, and things are going to fall out because of it. So I think that one looks really good. Bodies, 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 obviously we're going to go see because Aaron said so. And then
because Aaron said so, if anything, that's going to deter me.
Well, I would have
being told to do something.
I would have said
Aaron.
I would have seen it because you said so, but you apparently were sleeping. So
I just didn't get a ticket, man. I didn't get one.
It is true. You know what's funny, Troy, about when South By, you get what's called an express pass.
Yep.
And you only get so many of them. And that basically means that guarantees your spot at the movie. And they go up at a certain time every day at that festival, right? And there's only so many of them. And I think it's like 10% of whatever the audience seating is in that theater. Well, this isn't the biggest theater, so you expect...
It's tough to get them.
But literally, when the clock strikes 9 in the morning, you have to be ready with your phone or your tablet or whatever to just start hammering the button like you're trying to get concert tickets. And if you don't do it in the first, what, Amanda, 30 seconds, you don't get it.
5 seconds, yeah. Honestly.
My fingers were faster.
Because then it has to process.
It's getting in the right group for Rise of Resistance at Disneyland.
Yeah, kind of.
I was pretty good on, I got Lost City and I got, there was another one, another big one that I got, X, and then there was one more. And some of them Aaron couldn't even get, but he just, that day he was ready for Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
I love a fun horror movie. And this was, it was a cool take on it. And it goes and it really, if you pay attention, you can follow where it's headed. But I feel like you're going to be kind of caught up in it. And that's why it kind of, it'll get you near the end.
I am definitely looking forward to seeing it because I know how much you enjoyed it. And I had already been looking forward to seeing it. Not Okay, I'm also looking forward to seeing. If this Guns 3 happens, I'll be excited. But probably the only one that I'm going to be a hard no on is Luck. Like, I would even be willing to watch Secret Headquarters, but I'm not going to watch Luck.
I'm not too excited about it. Okay. August 12th, The Man from Toronto was supposed to come to the theater. Now it's going to Netflix. Netflix bought it. The world's deadliest assassin and New York's biggest screw-up are mistaken for each other at an Airbnb rental. It's directed by Patrick Hughes. Stars Kaley Cuoco, Woody Harrelson, Ellen Barkin, and Kevin Hart.
I don't understand the whole premise about the how they were mistaken for each other when they literally are like, one is super taller than the other.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird. But it looks cool. It looks like a fun, like, action, white men can't jump kind of feel to it.
Yep. It looks fun. And Kaley Cuoco is a really fun, she's a really talented actress. I wish she'd get more juicier roles, I guess.
Dude, have you not watched Flight Attendant Season 1?
That's why I'm saying. I think she should get more stuff.
Because she's busy. She just released Flight Attendant Season 2 this week.
I don't remember the role she was talking about, where she had almost a breakdown because she couldn't get this role that she really, really wanted and thought she had. And she's still struggling to get out of that Big Bang Theory box, even though she had a good run with Flight Attendant. You know, sometimes it's hard once they have that really established TV show. It's hard to break out of that mold.
I think it was more the Priceline commercials, but.
The Priceline commercials. August 19th, Beast. A father and his two teenage daughters find themselves hunted by a massive rogue lion, intent on proving that the savannah has but one apex predator. Now, this stars Idris Elba and Chertil Copley, and this is the only real release coming out that week. So, what do we say about Beast? And by the way, my money's always on Idris Elba.
Wasn't there already a movie that was like lions in the jungle? They're trying to build a road.
Wasn't that bridge. Val Kilmer, The Ghost in the Darkness, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of.
Michael Douglas, Val Kilmer. It's a long time ago. But this, there's one with Nick Cage, Primal. There's that one. That was very much a Nick Cage trying to pay that tax money.
Yeah, no, Ghost in the Darkness is the one I was definitely thinking of. Okay. So it feels like that. Idris Elba, obviously playing Roland Deschain in The Dark Tower, even though the movie was terrible, he played an excellent Roland. So his gun skills are pretty awesome. So, like, it could be good. Seems very, like, long and boring, though, at the same time.
It seems like a late August entry. It's like, we need something in here. We got nothing left. It's the last of the summer. We don't make much money at the end of the summer. So let's put this in there and pray for the best. Okay. August 26th and August 31st. Those are the two movies that are left. August 26th has Samaritan, which is a Sylvester Stallone movie. But a young boy learns that a superhero who he thought to have gone missing after an epic battle 20 years ago may, in fact, still be around. So this is Stallone's stab at a superhero movie. A lot of superhero movies that aren't Marvel or DC, they're just trying to get in on the action. And then on August 31st, On a Wing and a Prayer, small-time pilot, unexpectedly, while flying a plane, forcing passenger Doug White to land the plane safely in order to save his entire family. Sean McNamara, Dennis Quaid, Mark Burnett, and a bunch of other people. Jesse Metcalf's in here, too. So those are the end of the summer movies, and it feels like those are the end of the summer movies.
Heather Graham making a comeback in that one.
Yeah, I like her. I'm glad she's coming back. But Samaritan's probably the one that I would be most excited about.
True story, I watched the trailer that Stallone and Martin Starr were in for a different movie, even though the YouTube clip had Samaritan as the title of the YouTube clip.
Well, there's like, I don't think an official trailer's out on that one yet.
No, but Martin Starr was in it, and I was like, oh, this has got to be the right thing. No, that's it was funny. A completely different movie.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, I might watch those, but I can't say that I'm excited for them.
Yeah. I mean, even our own energy is feeling like the end of August. Like, are we done with this list yet?
Well, so, by the time August rolls around, they'll probably bump them off the schedule anyway.
Oof. It's true. It's true. Or they'll put something on Labor Day weekend that, you know, some Jason Statham
movie. Or Peacock might buy them because they have to get back in the game.
Freaking Peacock. They're trying so hard. All right. Well, that's it for our summer movie preview. That is all the movies that we know of, the big releases that are coming out this summer. There's a lot that I want to see, and I hope, you know, we get back to some serious summer box office. But just to kind of wrap it up, what are you most looking forward to of all those? Amanda?
Out of all of the movies, it's definitely Doctor Strange. It's Scarlet Witch.
You really wish it was Scarlet Witch in the Multiverse of Madness, don't you?
It kind of is.
Why doesn't she get her own movie? She seems like she's a really popular character in the Marvel.
She got her own TV show.
She wasn't a very popular character. She's becoming more popular because they're giving her some spotlight, but she really just didn't have tons of popularity. I think what is making people drawn to her a little bit more is realizing just how powerful she is in the comics. And that she's not just some throwaway female superhero, like just to try to get one in. She truly is the most powerful Avenger that is out there. Like, she is one of the most powerful characters in the MCU, in Marvel Comics in general.
And because she had a great TV show. It was a great TV show.
She did
show.
Have a great TV show. That helps.
Yeah, that helps.
Elizabeth Olsen is fantastic in her portrayal.
What about you, Troy? What do you most
Lightyear for sure, Jurassic for sure, since it's the end, and then Marcel. He's so freaking cute. You just want to hold him and squeeze him and call him George.
That's cute. Top Gun, I think, is definitely at the top of my list. Bullet Train is top of my list.
Yeah, that one too.
And yeah, I think Marcel's up there too. It looks really interesting, really intriguing, really deep. So I want to see that. So what's one specific thing about this summer's films that stood out for you in particular?
That A24 is just cranking out the stuff. Like, I think there's like three from A24 coming out.
Yeah, they are having a great year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Great year.
Well, and Everything Everywhere All at Once was A24 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just raking it in. The thing, I think it's the fact that it's the independence. It feels very indie this summer. Not as much big block. I mean, there's like 10 poles. But there's just a lot of good, like what we've been asking for, right? Don't do the reboot. Don't do the remake. Give us something new to watch. And I think there's a lot of new coming out this summer from Hollywood.
Yeah, that's pretty much where my thoughts are, is for so many summers, we've just seen we've got a sequel. We've got a reboot. We've got something that's connected to a prior established name. And we're getting tons of original indie flicks. We still have a blockbuster or two in each of the months of summer. So we're not without them. But we have a lot of options to choose from for things that are more creative and unique and different and explore different stories that we've never considered. And I love that.
I feel like the studios probably got a little premature with moving some of their movies out of the summer. And I wonder if they regret that now. I mean, I really, really do wonder if they, now that they've seen the box office is being lit up again and people are going back to the theater and, you know, they're being a little less worried about things and starting to embrace the things that they enjoyed before pre-pandemic. I wonder if we're going to see some movies maybe that slip into the summer at some point, you know, where they throw it in there mid-July or mid-August.
I think that's the big prediction. You'll see one or two maybe shift into that late July, August, because you have to have enough marketing runway in order to make that happen.
So what's your overall verdict on this summer's releases? Great, good enough, ugly enough to make you play sports outside, what?
I'm definitely going to try to go outside more this summer, but there are going to be plenty of opportunities for me to stay inside. It is looking like a pretty solid, except for August. I feel like August isn't as strong for me.
August is like they just gave up.
They were just like, kids are going to start going to school, so we'll just throw a couple things in there. It's fine. Summer's over. But overall, I think it's a pretty stellar lineup. You know, we've got a lot. We've got what we've been waiting for, which is not just remakes and reboots and sequels. We've got some original content.
Yeah, and I feel there's at least enough there that A-List will be worth it for the summer.
Oh, for sure. There's something I want to see every week, but it's not exhausting. And right. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's not, like I said before, an overabundance and over... There's quality over quantity. There's a lot of quality this year. I mean, usually when you look at the summer release schedule, you're like, okay, I mean, there's a lot that I'll see and I'll probably enjoy it. Like Amanda was talking about earlier, you'll enjoy it, but it isn't something that's really going to stick with you. I think there's a lot that'll stick with you this summer. And maybe it's a factor because there's less releases that it sticks out more. You know, it's kind of like how we look at TV now, where I look at TV as a stressful endeavor. Now I'm looking at the theater and going, I can relax and actually pick something.
Well, and I think movie studios are still kind of being very strategic in particular about where they're putting their blockbusters. So it's opened up a lot more opportunity for these independent films to come in and say, well, we don't have as much competition for the summer as we normally do. This could be a really good opportunity for us to get people to see our movies. People are going to want to be doing stuff this summer when they haven't been able to much for the past couple of years. So it'll work out really well for them, I think.
All right. What's your prediction? Biggest hit and biggest flop?
Should we all just agree that we can't choose for biggest hit one of the Marvel films?
Or your prediction, biggest hit and biggest flop.
Okay. Biggest hit is going to be Doctor Strange. Biggest flop is going to be DC League of Super Pets.
Whoa. Hang on, Troy, before you go. You think the biggest flop is going to be the DC League of Super Pets, huh?
I do. There are so many other kids' movies to compete with. You have Minions, you have Lightyear, you have all of these other ones. Kids, I don't think the parents are going to want to engage in something like that and take their kids to see it when they could take them to see all of these other ones that they will actually enjoy. Even Marcel with Shells of the Shoes or whatever the hell it's called. That one, I think parents are more likely to take their kids to.
Okay, all right. Troy, what do you say? Biggest hit, biggest flop?
I think Jurassic is going to actually do pretty well because of the return of the cast. You kind of have that split dollar. I mean, you have the Marvel people are going to go to see Strange and Thor, but the problem with Strange and Thor is that those are the two movies that people are also kind of like, I don't really like Strange and I don't really like Thor. So I don't think they're going to be as big of a take. So I think Jurassic's going to take the lead for the summer, especially being the final Jurassic. And then for some of the same reasons, because I think you're still going to get that 30 to 45 crowd of males that'll go see DC League of Super Pets because it's DC. Mm-hmm. And I have to see everything DC related. So I think Paws of Fury will be the one that'll tank because of the selections that you have for the kids' options this year.
For The Legend of Hank? That's a weird title.
It's the weird title, and it just looks terrible.
Yeah, I think I get really hung up between Lightyear and Jurassic because, you know, animated kids movies, they can fly on, especially for Disney. Mm-hmm. But I'm with Troy on Jurassic World. I think there's a lot of nostalgia factors kicking in. I mean, the original trio is in it. It's supposedly the final chapter, and that never means the final chapter. It just means till they reboot it again. So I'm thinking that one could be the biggest movie of the summer. And I think the biggest flop is going to be Elvis. I just don't see a biopic or
that's
biopic
a
being a hit in the summer. I think it works better around Christmas time because you got a lot of families getting together and wanting to go to see a movie and stay warm and cozy. But summer, you want bombastic, especially in June. You want some energy. I don't think Elvis is going to be a hit.
You know when they should have released Elvis?
December.
They should have released it in January, actually.
Why? Is that his birthday?
January 8th.
Is that his birthday? Because you were, yeah. I assume, Googling that while you were taking...
I was going to say, Christmas feels like the perfect time then, because then it's still running on his birthday. It's like an early celebration, and you get to celebrate Jesus. And we all know that America loves to celebrate Jesus.
We love
Jesus
Elvis more,
at the movies
in America. Because I was just in Memphis, and man, they go nuts for some Elvis. They go nuts.
But I just mean like in... I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm tired. I give up.
Well, here's what... Here's okay. our listener. Here's what the listeners were most excited about. In order from top 10, from 10 to 1. Bob's Burgers movie. I don't know why, but it's there. Minions, The Rise of Gru. Downton Abbey, A New Era. Bullet Train. Then you got Lightyear. Now we're talking. Nope. Top Gun Maverick. And here are the top three. Jurassic World Dominion. Thor, Love and Thunder. And number one, and it's double Jurassic World, by the way. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So it could be another Spider-Man. Amanda might be right on this one. Might be right. Now, that's going to do it for our summer movie preview.
Okay. Well, there's a good chance that because everything is moving around, On a Wing and a Prayer might have been moved to April 5th of 2023 rather than August 31st. That's the small town pilot film with Dennis Quaid. That's really all we care about is Dennis Quaid.
That's fair. Honest. Okay. So there you go. You got that in there. If that actually happened, then there we go. We got that problem. That's going to do it for this episode. We are done.
I would say we should mention, though, that what? Flight Attendant does come out this week. So make sure you check out Flight Attendant Season 2. And also Andrew Garfield is coming out in a new TV series under the banner of Heaven, which is going to be on Hulu. It's a true crime. So definitely check that out because Andrew Garfield obviously should have won for the Best Actor Award in the Oscars.
Boom. Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm sorry. I know it's really late, but I do want to just say that I watched the conversations with the serial killer for John Wayne Gacy. And that was a little intense. It was wonderful. But wonderful is a weird word to use for something like this. But I didn't know this man ran KFCs. Like, what if he put I know he didn't, but what if he had put body parts in the food?
Would have been smarter than burying them under your house.
It would have made sense why the KFC ad was after that Walking Dead scene.
Yeah, that's why they protected that recipe so dearly. They didn't want anybody to know we've been putting people in your fried chicken for years.
And why it fell down, it fell apart all these years later.
That's true. I mean, it's not Soylent Green, it's KFC, people. Think about it. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We're on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our website is TheHollywoodOutsider.com. You can find John's artwork on Insta and Twitter at RJohnDraws. Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows and Smirk and at Sink Into This. Troy at Troy Heinrichs and The Blacklist Exposed and Beyond Westworld. And me on Presenting Hitchcock and at Aaron Smirks. That's going to do it. Thank you guys for joining us. Let's go out, have a fantastic summer, and remember the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn.
Like this weekend.
Yeah. Whenever you go. Go now. Yeah.
Do you know what we say to the god of podcasting? Not today.
You didn't tell them to rate us and subscribe. 5 stars.